Well, good morning to you. Welcome back to the God School. For several weeks now, we have been talking about basic Christianity, our text being in from the letter of Romans, the 7th and 8th chapters. The message is not limited to those verses. However, we're attempting to bring back the lost message of the church, which is that declaration found in the 17th verse of the first chapter, which declares the righteous shall live by faith. We listened to the great apostle to the Gentiles giving personal testimony of the nature of sin in the flesh, of the warfare when the Spirit of God has entered into man, his wonderful thanksgiving that there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. For 2,000 years, the church has been attempting, and done a very good job, by the way, of somehow suggesting that the righteousness of God might be manifest in the flesh. My pause is, if there is an ounce of honesty in you, you might reconsider. Our testimony is in God, not in ourselves. Let's get back to the text. Now, my recommendation is that you have a pen and paper ready today, for we are told that no prophecy, no truth of Scripture is of private interpretation. Today, as we review a bit and go forward, we are going to enjoin other scriptures which give the testimony that Paul is giving us here in the 8th chapter. The 19th verse says, "For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God," that is, with an intense anticipation. If we go to 2 Peter, 3rd chapter, 13th verse, we read, "Nevertheless, we, according to his promise," that is, God's promise, "we look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness." It says the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. In the Apostle John's epistle, his first epistle, 3rd chapter, 2nd verse, it says, "Beloved, now we are the sons of God, It does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he, that is Jesus, shall appear, we shall be like him, like Jesus. For we shall see him as he is. The creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who subjected the same in hope. You want to know about your flesh and blood? Let's go to the third chapter of Genesis. 19th verse says, God speaking, in the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it, that is the ground, wast thou taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. That's the fate of the flesh. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him, that is God, who subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know. That's the purpose behind the God School, that you might know. For we know that the whole creation groaneth together and travaileth in pain together until now. Paul said that 2,000 years ago. We could say that today as well. And not only, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting. Here we are again, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body. We went through that last time. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. Oh, let me see your righteousness. No, it's coming. Even the righteousness of God. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then we do with endurance wait for it. Paul attempts to cheer us up. He says, likewise, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself makes intercession, that is, helps us hit the mark for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he, that is God, that searches the hearts, knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit? Because he makes intercession for the saints. We went over that word. Let me repeat. I can't say it enough. The word is hagios. It's a liturgical word. It has to do with commitment to the deity. in the pagan religions, the Temple of Diana, women, horrors, were called saints because they committed unto Diana. We, by God's grace, and the gift of His Spirit, we commit ourselves unto Him, and that through and in His Word. Because He, the Spirit, makes intercession for the saints according to God. And we know, King James says, we know that all things work together for good. Perhaps one of the most oft-quoted verses of all of Scripture. And yet it's a poor translation, folks. The literal of the Greek is, and we know. That God synergizes, enters into all things to work His good. Who does He do that for? To them that love God. To them who are called according to His purpose, for whom He did foreknow, that is, foreordained. God did this. He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. Ephesians 1:5 says, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, we go on to the 11th verse, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him, that is God, who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. Did you hear that? In whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him, that is God, who works all things after the counsel of His own will. He did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. In Jesus' high priestly prayer, His true prayer, that found in John 17, not Matthew 6, called the Lord's Prayer. This is the true Lord's Prayer. And Jesus prayed and said to the Father, and the glory which Thou gave Me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Colossians 1:15. Let's read it through the 18th verse. speaking of Jesus, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, that are visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, speaking of Jesus, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, that is, those who belong to the Lord, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. Predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn of many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he, God, also righteousified, and whom he righteousified, them he also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? Paul quotes Psalm 118, one of my favorite psalms. If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all. Paul speaking to the church, folks. These are not words to the world. When Jesus is praying that prayer in John 17, he says, I pray not for the world, but for these thou hast given me out of the world. He that spared not his Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with Jesus also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to God's elect? It is God that righteousifies. Don, you say righteousify. My Bible says justify. Well, go look in your concordance, and you're going to find that this word being translated justifies is from the root DK, as every time it's translated justify, the root is DK, and the same root is translated righteous or righteousifying or righteousified. Cross it out, write in the correct translation, righteousified. It is God that righteousifies. It is not conforming to a list of do this and don't do that. It's not the performance of the law. God gave the law to show us we, as a standard of his righteousness, that we could not live up to it. That's why Paul says in the third chapter, but now a righteousness of God is made manifest. It is the gospel now, folks, not righteousified by the law, but by the grace of God in Jesus Christ. Who is he that condemneth? The word here is katakrinon. Ultimately condemns. Who is it? It's Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. So we have the Spirit making intercession for us. We have Jesus making intercession for us. That's enough for me. Come to understand that God is working according to the purpose that he purposed, who worketh all things by the counsel of his own will. Shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? The prophet Isaiah in the 50th chapter says, he is near that justifieth me. That is, says that there is an outside agency that is outside of us that justifies, that righteousifies. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is mine adversary? Let him come near. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? They, whoever it is bringing accusation, who thinks they have the power to bring accusation against God's elect. Lo, look at this, they all shall wax old as a garment. The moth shall eat them up. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Now Paul's gonna tell it like it is. This stuff happens. Shall tribulation? No. Or distress? No. Or persecution? No. Or famine? No. Or nakedness? No. Or peril? No. Or sword? No. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. Paul in the Corinthian letter, I'm sorry, I didn't write it down, but he says, I die daily. He says in that 11th verse of the 6th chapter, likewise, reckon ye also, speak, use your mouth, This is how we claim the promises of God. It is, as it says in the 10th chapter, with the heart man believeth, with the mouth proclamation is made unto salvation. Lo, gisomais, reckon likewise, reckon yourselves also to be dead indeed to sin. As it is written, for thy sake, we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Paul has a counter to that and says, nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. The 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We are more than conquerors through him, the love of Christ, through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present today, nor things to come. Now, I want you to notice this. It doesn't talk about nor things in the past. We're talking today, folks. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. You can't hear it because I've been muting it, but I'm having a tough time physically getting through this message. I thank God that in Jesus Christ we shall get through it. Nor things present. Don't let your past be bother you. Nor things today. Nor things to come. Nor height. You can't get high enough to reach God, nor depth. Underneath all, Deuteronomy 33 says, are the everlasting, that is, beneath bottomless, nor are the everlasting arms of God, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us, that is, put any space between us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The lost message of the church, the good news of the gospel, is that God, for faith, that is, living in a trusting relationship, that is, grabbing hold of his promises as though they're more real, because they are, than anything we might encounter. And Paul has given us a list of the things we might encounter. Nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that's the God School for today.